Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for your regular host, David Inge. Our producers are Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls. And I'm honored to be hosting the show during this hour of Focus 580 because it is the occasion of the last interview we have with Dr. Robert Bocek. At least we think it might probably be. He may have left the door open earlier before the show to special occasions, but this is his retirement show here on Focus 580. Dr. Robert Bocek has been a pediatrician here in the Champaign-Urbana community for how long?
26 years.
26 years, okay. And he's been on the show almost that long. Almost, I think he was one of the first guests we ever had on Focus 580, as a matter of fact. That was before my time by a few years, but back when the show first started in 1982, I believe, was the first time that we had Dr. Bocek on the show. Anyway, this is your last chance to call in with your children's health questions or to, say something, say goodbye to Dr. Bocek, at least on the show. He'll be around the community. But anyway, we'll talk about children's health, any issues that you have with regard to the health of your kids, the kids in your life. Feel free to join us. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us around the Midwest, or if you're listening online anywhere in the continental U.S., 800-222-9455. Dr. Bocek, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
Ken. It's always good to see you. We were talking before the show about, it's been a long time, and actually medicine has changed during that time. A lot of things have changed.
Yes.
Kinds of questions that we get on the show have changed, I think.
Yes. I think we've switched a lot from toilet training and that to mental health problems and I think medicine's changed a lot. And I liked your guest earlier this week, or I didn't have any disagreement with your guest earlier this week that said somebody needs to run health care in this country we're paying an awful lot of money and we don't necessarily have a longer or more quality of life than other countries do, and I think we need a healthcare czar of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just hope we get a wise one.
That's right. Well, you would hope that. If you have a czar, it's got to be a wise one. Better be a wise one. Well, one of the things that has changed a lot is, I think, I hear this from many doctors, is the opportunity to have a relationship. Now, this is universally true because I have to say that in our case, we love our family care physician. We have a great relationship. But it is the circumstances in which that relationship, exists have changed.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And I think, you need to be able to talk with your physician. If you can't, you need to find another physician. I think there are physicians I think the pressure is on the doctor to – it's become more of a piecework job. How many fenders can you stamp out a day, or how many patients can you see a day? But I think you can – don't waste your physician time, but if you got questions, write them down and make sure they get answered.
Yeah. Well, we can talk more about that or something else. We have a caller to talk with. Let's include them in our conversation. Someone in Urbana, line number one. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
I have a pretty small question here. I'm a caregiver for a girl who's 1.5 years old, and he perpetually in the morning after breakfast gets kind of a red. They're not pimples, but they kind of look like a pimples or a rash right around her mouth and chin. And I've tried feeding her different things, and I've cleaned it, and I've not cleaned it, and I've, just tried a variety of different things. And I'm wondering if that's common or what you might think that would be.
Okay, that's not uncommon. It could be that the whatever food you're feeding her is somewhat irritating. It could be a nerve stimulation to the – as they eat, the salivary glands get stimulated, and sometimes the nerves kind of, especially in children, they aren't well insulated as adults, and their skin is thinner and it shows things more, and it could be that just that the nerves are getting a little bit overexcited and blood vessels are being dilated on the face and instead of just the salivary glands filling up, and I don't think it's anything to be concerned about.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it. It passes by midday, it goes away, so. I was just curious. Thank you very much for your answer.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
We have another caller in Bloomington Normal next. Oh, they disappeared. I guess we lost them. If they want to call back, they should feel free to do so. I'll mention the phone numbers again, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana, toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. It's, you know, in the case of children, it's amazing to me the resiliency where you see these things, you know, a rash that just, you know, you go, oh, yeah, my goodness, what is that? And it just goes away. And my own body doesn't respond like that anymore, but I certainly see that in kids.
But they are durable. You know, the other thing that I used to get a lot is you'd get a lot of parents that were concerned, you know, can I make a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is, probably not. I mean, kids are resilient, and kids are, I don't think you can make a mistake. You know, if you do something in anger, it's all right to say you're sorry. You know, it's all right to cuddle the kid later and say, you know, maybe mommy or daddy, we didn't mean. I think it's a good lesson to the child, too, that they can do the same thing. Say, I did an error, and I'm sorry.
That's an important lesson for all of us, absolutely, to be able to say, ooh, I did make a mistake, and I can admit that, and I can apologize.
But on the other hand, we used to have parents say, okay, you sit in the corner till you can say you're sorry. And some kids can't say they're sorry, so I think they just want – so I think
– some grown-ups can't say they're sorry.
So I think an attitude can say, I'm sorry. And so I think, when the kid – when the child settles down and says, okay, let's kind of start over again, maybe that's, I'm sorry, and that's the time to start over again.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, you have several callers waiting. Let's go on and talk with a Champaign listener, line number one. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for your many years of service on the show, and I thought it was an appropriate day to call. My firstborn daughter is 21 years of age today, and I realized I had been listening to you for all that time when I quit full-time work and started finding some companions on Focus 580. So I have really appreciated listening to you all these years.
Well, thank you, and congratulations.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for the call. I love hearing that. 21-year-old, you know, listening since you first started here, so... All right, well, let's carry on. Go on to next to someone in Terre Haute, line number four. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a quick question. My son is 3 years old, and I've been trying to potty train him for 6 months. And some people tell me that if you keep pulling pull-ups, he's more than likely to do it just because he's used to that. And if I just let it go only with underwear, even though we are going out and on a grocery shop, he is more likely to learn the feeling by having mistakes and being wet and so forth. Is that correct?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, I think am I surmising right that he's bowel trained and he's just not bladder trained?
Most of the mistakes is more. Let's say number two.
Yeah.
He's pretty good with number one.
Yeah.
But he hides to do number two because he doesn't want to go to the potty. Sometimes he goes, but it's most of the time he hides from me just to be able to do in his pants.
Okay. No, I don't think it's going to make – if you want to increase your laundry load, you can put him in underwear instead of pull-ups, but you don't want to increase your laundry load. You've got enough laundry to do anyway, and I don't think it's going to make any difference as far as his potty training is concerned. I think what he's saying is, I'm a boy.
Is that something that I can do to help him understand that it's better to go to the potty?
No, because why is it?
Well...
you know, for him, it makes no difference. And I think what I do is, ask him periodically, would you like to go potty?
Okay.
Don't say, we're going potty. Would you like to? Because he's 3 years old, and 3 years old, 3 year olds run the world. What he doesn't know isn't worth knowing.
Is that what's wrong with this world? No.
Yes. No. I think the world would be better off run by 3 year olds often, but anyway, I think I'd leave him in pull ups because I think it's going to decrease your laundry load.
Okay.
It's going to decrease your frustration. It's going to decrease your likelihood of saying, Oh.
Yes.
And he's going to feel upset about that. So I think I'd keep him in pull-ups because it's going to be easier on you. It's easier to change. We get some kids that change their own pull-ups sometimes. Oh. And I think I just periodically suggest, you know, it's before lunch, it's before breakfast, it's first thing in the morning, it's just before bedtime. Let's go potty. And I think I'd do the let's go potty, not you will go potty. Let's go potty together. And lead it to him that way. And I think what you're basically waiting for is one of his peers to say, are you still in pull-ups? That's dumb. And I think that will probably take care of it.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, as a parent, you know, we went through this too, and there's a lot of anxiety about toilet training and all that. I mean, for the parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what I like to say is toilet training is not your responsibility, and we should get rid of the word training. It's a developmental task for the child to complete.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old saw about there's a tribe in Africa that their children are all potty trained by 6 months of age.
Hmm.
Well, except what's the rule in that tribe? Don't do it in the hut. These kids don't have any diapers or anything on, so just crawl outside the hut.
Mm-hmm.
Do it outside the hut. But I think in our society, toileting skills are much more complicated because you got to pull down your pants and you got to sit on the potty and you got to flush the toilet and all that sort of stuff. So it's a little bit more difficult. And we boys are a little bit more stubborn about it than girls are. I don't know why, but we just are.
Well, and it will happen. I mean,
yes.
You know, as a pediatrician I saw speak once asked a room full of adults, how many of you are not, not toilet trained? How many,
yes.
You know? And, of course, nobody raised their hand. I mean, it's going to happen. So. Okay, well, we have a couple callers waiting. We'll go next to an Urbana listener, line number two. Good morning.
Good morning. First of all, thank you so much for your years of service. It's so appreciated.
Well, you're very welcome.
Second of all, I would like a little advice on washing fruits and vegetables in light of the E. coli going on with spinach.
You mean those bags of spinach that say ready to eat, do not wash fully cleaned?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the answer is, I'd wash everything. And how? Water.
Just water?
Yeah.
Would that have killed the E. coli number, whatever it is?
Probably. Well, I'm not sure.
They say no, it won't.
Yeah. I think what you're going to do with the water wash is you're going to reduce the titer. You're going to reduce the number of bacteria. And assuming that one bacteria won't do it, that you probably need 100,000 or something like that. If you wash it with plain water, you're going to reduce that titer, and you're going to reduce your risk of being infected with E. coli or Salmonella or Shigella or whatever else is
so
on
it. Just work on improving the odds.
Yes, yes.
I see. Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. We're talking during this hour of Focus 580 with Dr. Robert Bocek. He's a pediatrician here in the Champaign-Urbana community, and he has joined us on the show once a month for some 24 years, and this is his last show, and we're very sad about that. But we're happy to have had him and to have him during this hour. If you want to join us, the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Caller next on line number one. Good morning.
Yes, I'm kind of calling in regard to a problem that was similar to the lady a few minutes ago about toilet training.
Okay.
This is a little girl who is now plus five.
Ooh.
You got any more suggestions? She's exceedingly strong-willed and still disciplined, in my opinion. But
are we talking about bowel, bladder, or both?
Both, but primarily bowel.
Ooh. You know what? I think there may be is she an infrequent stooler? Does she go infrequently?
I'm not too sure because she isn't in my house all the time. But she isn't sent real regularly to the bathroom. You know, it is, like you said, make suggestions. That's kind of not suggested to her, at least previously, as often as it perhaps should have been.
You know,
I don't know whether there's kind of a correlation there or what, but
I would suggest that I would talk to a physician about this, because my guess would be that she probably has encopresis. Does she have a full bowel movement in her pants, or does she just soil frequently?
Yeah, kind of the former, the what you're talking
the
about.
The soiling.
I have talked to someone who's kind of given them that opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm never quite caught on exactly what that problem is and,
okay,
and what can be done about it, I guess.
Okay, what is postulated that goes on with these children who have encopresis, we call it, is that they're constipated. And instead of passing this large, hard stool, which they know is going to hurt, they hold it. Because I don't want to hurt myself by going to the bathroom. So I will hold it, and then they plug up. And their colon fills up to the point where it's doesn't warn them anymore. It says, you know what, I've told you I don't know how many times, and you haven't listened to me anyway, so I'm not going to tell you anymore. And so they've got this fecal plug in there, and what they do is they seep. As the stool comes down from above, it tends to be rather loose, and it seeps around this plug, and they stain their pants. So it's not that they're having bowel movements in their pants, it's that they're leaking in their pants. And the treatment for this is, number one, I've got to get rid of that fecal plug. So often it's enemas or something like that to empty them out well once. And then it's often a stool softener to keep their bowel movements soft so they don't get constipated again. And then it's sort of, yeah.
Well, these children drink a lot of milk. I mean, a lot
okay.
of milk.
Okay, and milk is constipating.
Which is, you know, not bad for them.
No.
She should probably ease off the amount of milk she drinks then?
She should, well, maybe. mostly, I think she needs health. I think she needs medical care and a program on how to unconstipate her, get this fecal plug out of there, let the colon shrink down again so it starts telling her when she needs to go, and some additive stool softeners like we used to use mineral oil a lot. There's newer ones out now. And it kind of starting all over again.
So in other words, the basic problem is they need to kind of start out and give her an enema or something
yeah.
of that nature.
Well, I think she needs a good physical exam to make sure that's what's going on. But I'll bet you that's what's going on.
Well, I've never heard them say that. I know I've heard that term used. So I think you know they have consulted their pediatrician. But I've never heard them say. I've heard them say that they sometimes give her stool softeners, but I've never heard them saying anything about, you know, kind of cleaning her out totally to kind of try to get off on the right foot, maybe.
Yeah, I think she may, if that's her problem, she may need to be totally cleaned out with an enema or something like that that's going to be, unpleasant, but I think it's necessary to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. We have another caller on line number 3 in Urbana. Next, good morning.
Hi. With regard to the E. coli, I don't know how E. coli functions, but there are some foodborne diarrhea-causing organisms that form spores that are resistant to being washed and are even resistant to being soaked in an iodine water solution. I don't know if E.
Okay.
coli does that.
I don't think E. coli is a spore former.
When we lived in Kathmandu for 8 months, and all of our fresh vegetables were soaked in an iodine water solution, the water, first of all, had to be purified because you couldn't get water that was safe to consume or even to have a droplet of water on your dishes. Everything had to be dry. And that's how we treated our fresh vegetables.
Okay.
And we couldn't eat fresh vegetables during the monsoon season because there was a spore former that grew during the monsoon, during the wet times. I forget what it's called now, but it was difficult to treat. And so it might be that somebody wants to consume commercial spinach that, and I don't know what, they can use an iodine drops in water, but they might want to look up what they dilution is so they get the right amount.
Yeah, I think I'd be careful of iodine because it can suppress your thyroid.
Well, yeah, I suppose you could rinse the iodine off after you use the iodine to kill the bugs.
Now, I think Giardia will form spores. Yeah, some things will form spores and some won't. Is E. coli our enemy? Well, most E. coli is our friend, but there are some toxigenic strains, some E. coli that will make a toxin. Those aren't our friends, and those are the ones that cause this diarrhea problem. They can also cause hemolytic uremic syndrome, and I think that's what they're so worried about, that it affects the platelets and the kidneys, and so, you know, again, most bacteria are our friends, but there's some out there that aren't our friends.
Yeah.
Well, if it's causing people to die,
yes,
it doesn't sound like something I would play around with, but I have heard in the media that if you cook spinach,
yes,
then it'll be okay. But the other thing that worries me is that it says that sometimes they've had people get sick from lettuce from these farms. So, you know, that's...
Yeah. I think that's the other thing I brought. You know, spinach happens to be the contaminated culprit this time, but how different is lettuce? And how different is collard greens or anything else? Mm-hmm. And I think, all our fruit and vegetables ought to be washed, and I think maybe we relaxed a little bit because you bought these packets at the grocery store and said ready to eat, all clean and ready to go.
Yeah, nicely packaged.
And obviously, at least we've learned from this case that, yeah.
Well, the media said that washing it at home would not...
Get rid of the
risk. It didn't say anything about using an iodine bath. And maybe there's more information on the web.
Yeah, that could be.
Reliable sources that people might want to check.
But offhand, I'd be a little bit worried about iodine, or really check that out, because too much iodine can shut down our thyroid glands.
Yeah, you'd have to look up what the proper way to do it would be. Okay, bye.
Thanks
for the call. We have another listener waiting on line number one in Champaign. Good morning.
Hi,
yes.
A couple of questions. One is about kind of patterns of toileting for kids. Mine is just over two years old, and we have started kind of encouraging him to go potty in his potty kind of a thing. And he sometimes doesn't. He sometimes doesn't really care for it. So we just kind of let him kind of lead us the way. But
good.
The question I have, though, is with regard to, like, before when he was, regularly being bottle fed and stuff like that, then he would have multiple bowel movements all day long. And now he's down to maybe one. Sometimes he doesn't have one the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And is that normal?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, again, I will ask you, and I don't want an answer, how many bowel movements do you have a day?
Well,
He's gotten to the age where... Yeah, his diet has changed, and he's on a diet. He's on a more or less adult diet.
Right, right. Okay, so that's pretty normal. And then I was reading that as far as toilet training, they should get down to having kind of dry diapers even before you even try to start. Encourage is that? I guess it's so that then. So, for instance, if you're used to changing his diaper every two hours or something, and it's dry when you go to change it, then that means he's getting ready to be, you know, to having more of a schedule of when he's having, either a bowel movement or just going pee.
Yes.
And so should we be more aggressive now that he's doing that, or no?
No. Well, depends what you mean by aggressive.
Well, I mean,
you know, I think, would you like to go? Yeah, encourage. Would
okay.
you like to go potty now? Gee, you got a dry diaper, and I know you've just finished your nap or you've just finished lunch or whatever. And this is a time when I, as an adult, would probably go to the bathroom. Gee, let's do it together. His potty chair is next to the toilet. You can use the toilet, and he can use his little toilet.
Okay.
And okay. Just encourage.
Okay. Then as far as he was recently tested for allergies,
mm-hmm.
and even though he's just two, they were kind of hesitant to do it, but given his history, they said okay, and they did fine. They had out, but for treatment, they just have him on Zyrtec.
Okay.
And they don't really want to go too much more than that at this point in time. Is that pretty normal to do?
If that control, what kind of allergy symptoms does he have?
He's allergic to like stuff outside, like ragweed and cats and things like that.
Okay, so he has nasal allergies, not asthma.
No.
His nose gets stuffed up and it runs and he sneezes.
Exactly. It gets real crusty and all that stuff.
Yeah. No, I think Zyrtec would be perfect. Yeah, I think the name of the game is, you start with the most convenient thing you can. And I think an oral medication is fine. And then if that doesn't work, you go up from there. But I think particularly with, you don't have a cat in your house.
No.
The allergy season to ragweed is finite. So I think a treatment that you can start and stop as needed is a perfectly sane way to go, rational way
so
to go.
Once his symptoms seem to be going away, we can just take him off of it and then just kind of go along those ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was just going to mention, there was something on the news about that E. coli strain, the one that's really bad.
Okay.
It actually doesn't take very many of them. That's
no.
why it's so bad. It's whereas sometimes you need 10,000 of these things to make you sick. In this case, you know, just a handful will do it. So that's why it's been so bad.
Yeah.
So that's why even just washing it with water isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it won't guarantee.
Right, which is scary because, I'm used to just getting the vegetables that say they're ready to eat and then just putting them together. And last night, everything was cleaned really, really thoroughly and really, really well, and I brushed the cucumbers off and everything. So hopefully that did it for anything that we were eating last night. So, okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I think one of your guests earlier this week also brought up the fact, and I think I've said this in the past, you know, we worry about E. coli. But make sure we wear bike helmets when we ride our bikes. Mm. Make sure we buckle our seat belts because I think, again, we're worrying about things that could happen but don't happen very often. And sometimes we don't do enough to prevent the things that do happen and do happen quite often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just basic helmets, for example. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, well, and then something happens and it's in the news and, of course, it's in the top of our consciousness and so forth. And we should be concerned about it. I mean, this is no laughing matter, you know, but on the other hand, like you say, there are other day-to-day risks that we take for granted. Well, our lines are open. We are just past our midpoint here with Dr. Robert Bocek, pediatrician here in the Champaign-Urbana community. This is our last chance to talk with him on Focus 580, and I'm sad about that. I've enjoyed a lot of our conversations, and as someone who has kids, it's near and dear to my heart, the topic here. Any questions you have about raising kids, children's health, are welcome during the time remaining. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll free anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455.
Well, I have been invited to volunteer during pledge breaks.
So, that's good.
I understand that's coming up. So if you want to talk to me again, call in a pledge.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Appreciate that very much. I'm sure we'll rope you in some way like that. I also want to mention for folks, if you get our Patterns magazine, there's a nice feature on Dr. Bocek in the current month's edition of Patterns magazine, which if you are a member of the Friends of WILL, that's something that you get anyway. Membership has its benefits. So I thought I'd mention that because it's a very nice story there. We have another caller to talk with, someone in Champaign, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, I'm calling about a 10-year-old girl who runs a little bit on the anemic side, probably because I tend to run a little on the anemic side. And she also does not get a lot of dietary calcium. We eat a lot of, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, but I was just wondering what he could recommend on supplementation or what's a good way to handle both issues, because I understand iron might have a problem binding in the system if she takes calcium at the same time.
Iron will. I don't think iron binds with calcium, but yeah.
I heard the digestibility factor kind of goes down if you ingest them at the same time.
Yeah, iron and calcium can both bind, and they're both looked on at the. Yeah, the body sort of looks on them as the same thing in a way because they're both sort of heavy. Heavy metal sort of things.
Uh-huh.
How anemic is she?
Not really. My general practitioner recommended, you know, just a general multivitamin, but I would like to start supplementing her calcium intake too, because the child just doesn't eat cheese or milk.
Okay.
Unless it's on pizza.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And again, you know, you can get all kinds of calcium supplements in the market since osteoporosis is so much talked about now. And you can talk with your pediatrician about the dose that she should have. The only problem with the calcium is you need to, ask him about the vitamin D, because a lot of the calcium supplements have vitamin D supplementation too. And vitamin D is a fat soluble vitamin, so you can overdose with vitamin D, and it can turn your kidneys to bone,
right.
Virtually calcify your kidneys. Yeah, and a vitamin with iron would be fine if she. Yeah, and again, you know, how anemic is she? And well, I guess is she menstruating yet?
She's spotting.
Okay. Because I think that's why you're anemic. Because I think all menstruating females who are actively menstruating tend to be on the kind of the borderline side.
Mm-hmm.
But a 10-year-old who's just having some spotting, she shouldn't be anemic yet. And where is she losing? And then you have to ask, why is she iron deficient? Is it her diet? Or do you do a quick check of the urine to make sure she's not losing blood in her urine? And do you check the stools with the hemocult or something like that to make sure she's not losing blood in the stool?
Mm-hmm.
Because a 10-year-old, I wouldn't expect to be anemic.
Well, she had a questionable blood test, and then she had another one, and it turned out to be a little borderline. And,
okay.
And the doctor just said it. Iron supplement was probably the best way to go.
Okay.
So she did get checked twice.
Okay. Yeah, so the doctor's not concerned, so I don't think I'd be concerned either. You know, again, milk is not a source of iron.
Right.
So the fact that she doesn't drink milk is and matter of fact, some people say that a big milk intake may cause some iron loss into the intestinal tract. So the fact that she's not drinking much milk is good probably as far as iron's concerned. But then again, we've got it's a good source of calcium. How's she do with meat eating?
Oh, she loves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? She's probably getting enough calcium that way then.
Oh, okay.
Because meat's a good source of calcium.
Yeah, she eats everything meat.
Okay. Yeah. No, she's probably okay.
Okay.
Yeah, generally, again, I've said before, I'll say it again, children generally don't need vitamin and mineral supplements.
Mm-hmm.
If they are offered a normal diet and eat a normal diet, even though she's not drinking her half gallon of milk a day, which is probably fine because she really doesn't need that at her age anymore, she probably doesn't need any calcium or vitamin supplementation.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much. But the TV commercial said that they need these pills. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
We have several callers waiting. We'll go next to someone in Terre Haute, line number 4. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, hello.
I have another spinach-related comment.
Okay.
I've heard a couple of the callers say that cooking the spinach would be okay. I've heard reports that they say that no frozen spinach and canned spinach is good, but if you have fresh bagged spinach, just throw it out because cooking may not kill the bacteria. Because of the way, I think they said the way the folks cook spinach, they don't cook it very long.
Yeah.
And that if you have bagged spinach, you just throw it out.
Throw it out. Yeah, and I think, how hot does it have to be? How long do you have to cook it before E. coli will be killed? And
I just steam my spinach, and I'm not sure that
would
do it.
So. That probably won't do. Yeah, if you cook it till it wilts, the way it tastes the best, it's probably not going to do the job.
Right. Okay, well, that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for all your years of service, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. A couple of callers waiting, and we have just about 15 minutes left with Dr. Robert Bocek, pediatrician from Champaign-Urbana, longtime member of the community here and a longtime guest on Focus 580. This is his last show. I keep making a big deal of it because it is a big deal, you know, certainly to me. We've really enjoyed having you here. You've just been great. Every time we have a show, it's just lovely to talk with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? This has been a real pleasure to get to know the WLL station family.
Yeah.
and to get to know the WILL listening family. It's been fun.
Well, every time you come in, we talk about our kids with you, too, and that's always fun. So, we'll go on and talk with some more listeners. If you want to join us, by the way, the phone number again, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Listener in Bradley next, line number two. Good morning.
Yes, I tuned in late, so I didn't hear the whole question on the boy with the toilet training. But I'm calling about my granddaughter, who is 4 and a half, and she's a girl, obviously. And she's having toileting accidents, urinary.
Okay.
But my daughter's noticing they're only happening at home, and she just goes on her merry way.
Okay.
And my daughter has had her washing her clothes. And
doesn't work.
No.
Nothing works.
No.
But at school, she goes to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Well,
or anywhere else, I guess, but
yeah.
Mainly at home.
Yeah. I will not embarrass myself in public, but at home when I wet myself, it's not an embarrassment.
Yeah. Would pull-ups work with her?
Yes. I would give it a try. For two possible reasons. Okay. If you're going to do this, and I know you don't need to, but I know I'm not going to punish you because I can't, because you're the only one in control, and I can't control your bladder. Only you can. So I'm going to put you in pull-ups because I don't want the laundry. You know, I don't want the additional laundry. I don't want the carpets wet. I don't want the bedding wet and all that sort of stuff. And also, maybe the pull-up will embarrass you a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you don't want to say that explicitly,
no.
Right?
Well, you know, but you're going to wear pull-ups. You can say you're going to wear pull-ups until you cut this out. And if you don't want to wear pull-ups, go to the bathroom in the bathroom like everybody else does. And if you don't, you're going to wear pull-ups because I don't like doing the laundry. Mm-hmm. And but basically, it's your choice, child.
Yeah.
And I
would you just start? After she has an accident, then put the pull-ups on for the rest of the day, or just
no? I think just at home. I don't think I'd send her to because you, yeah. What you want to do is you want to embarrass her a little bit at home, but you don't want to embarrass her at school and you know at the places where she's dry anyway.
Yeah, so pull-ups just at home.
Yeah, because that's the only place she needs them.
Yeah.
And if you send her to school in them. Oh, she may very well catch grief from her peers, and we don't want to do that.
Okay.
So, and, you know, the other thing you could do is, I think I'd warn her. And
okay.
If it persists, as soon as she gets home from school, here, put your pull-ups on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're right. Welcome.
Thanks.
I'm sorry you're leaving.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you so much for the call. We have another listener in Champaign, line number three. Next, good morning.
I'm calling about my 5-year-old son. He acts fine when he's not at home or when we're out, but when we're at home, he's constantly scared of being not with us. We have to be on the same floor as him, and it's gotten to the point where he's scared to go upstairs by himself. For the ghosts and goblins, my nieces and nephews told him all these ghosts and goblins stories, and it's been going on for about 2 months, and then he's even switched bedrooms to, like, we have an adjoining door in our spare bedroom, so he sleeps in there at night, and I have to physically be up there when he goes to bed because, you know, he's scared of the ghosts and goblins.
Yeah. I was going to guess an older brother, but it wasn't an older brother.
No.
It was nieces and it was older, cousins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, will he grow out of it?
Yes. Yes.
How long?
I don't know.
Okay.
Depends how long they keep telling them stories.
Well, they've stopped. Like, you know, we went on vacation with them and, you know.
Yeah.
So it was for a defined time.
It was good, clean fun.
Exactly.
But it didn't work.
Right, right.
or it had unfortunate consequences.
I mean, they weren't trying to scare him, but he kept asking for more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He scared himself.
Exactly.
Sort of. Yeah, this too shall pass.
Okay.
And I think the only thing you can do is, okay, yeah, you know, I will not sleep with you in the bed.
Right.
But I will sit in your room with you till you fall asleep.
You know, like we, like I stay in my, you know, our bedroom, and my son is in the adjoining bedroom.
Okay.
And then, like, I won't sleep with him or anything like that. But I am up there till he falls asleep.
Okay.
And he says, like, Mommy, are you up here? Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm waiting for you to go in your bed, and so I can fall asleep.
Okay. You know, yeah, I'm sorry you have this problem, but in a way you're very lucky because he doesn't have school avoidance and school phobia and that sort of stuff.
Right.
So it's an in the house. Okay. The ghosts are in the house only. And he's not worried about you disappearing or anything like that. So it's, in a way, your problem is sort of easier than it often is, but it's still inconvenient. And yeah, I think I just keep reassuring him. And if necessary, the flashlight, you can look under the bed together and just keep reassuring him, and this too shall pass.
We've tried everything like that. And so we just have given up and, like, you know, this is like, okay, I'm not going to be with you, but I'm going to be up here until you fall asleep.
I'm here for you, but,
Okay. But, like, I mean, do you think he's, like, playing us or anything like that?
No.
I
think these tales scared him, and I think between that and maybe some TV program or something like that, just all added together. And
you know what? He doesn't watch much TV, like,
except
videos, like, you know, Winnie the Pooh and... Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to be sure that we weren't, like, you know, he was playing us or there wasn't something else we could do or anything like that.
No, I think you're doing fine, and I think he got legitimately scared.
Okay. Well, thank you so much,
you're
Dr.
welcome.
Bochuk, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Next up, someone, got a little confused as to which line was next. Someone in Champaign, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a bit of a funny question. I was rummaging through some of my things and came across what appears to be a baby formula that my mother had used when I was a child. I was born in the late 50s, and there was a recipe. Consisted of PET evaporated milk, water, and 2 tablespoons Karo syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Does that strike you as odd or unhealthy?
That was, boy, I wouldn't feed that to anybody now.
I was shocked when I saw that.
But that was a standard formula at that time.
Wow.
That was just, I think that was before the commercial formulas came out. And it was a standard formula, although the one I knew was Carnation evaporated milk. PET evaporated milk, but what difference does it make?
Yeah, either brand.
And you boiled it, you boiled the water, you boiled everything, and you put it in bottles, and you sterilized the bottles, and you had this special bottle sterilizing pan, and it was a real pain in the neck. It was hard work to do. And right now we consider that an unsatisfactory thing to feed a baby.
I would think so, yeah. For whatever reason, my mother didn't breastfeed me, and I'm a fairly healthy adult. I don't see any adverse effects of that, but, you know, I wouldn't dare do that with our kids. We breastfeed, and so I wanted to throw that at you and see if that was odd or considered normal at the time.
Yeah, no, that was standard at the time.
Crazy. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Our lines are open. We have just about 6 minutes left with Dr. Robert Bochuk, pediatrician here in the Champaign-Urbana community, taking your questions on children's health and his last show with us, sadly. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free 800-222-9455. Speaking of diet, it's one of those things that, you know, we parents, we worry about our children, and we have all this stress that we put upon ourselves and perhaps them over diet. You know, how much of that is legit? I mean, you know, are they going to grow up to be, you know, cripples if they don't eat vegetables every day or
no? You know, right. You know, again, fruits and vegetables are sort of the same food group, if you will. And you read all this or you hear all this stuff from the media that, like, vitamin D is big now. Mm-hmm. and you have enough vitamin D, or maybe a little bit more, and you're going to prevent, you're going to live forever. Well, that's not true, and I'm, you know, I think.
Darn it.
Yeah. I think, you know, so I think eat a normal, tasteful diet.
Mm-hmm.
Watch your, we've got a big problem with obesity. Watch your candy. Watch your fat intake, your fried food intake. Watch especially the amount of soft drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Cut those out because, mm-hmm. boy, those are calorie concentrated and nutrient poor.
Yeah.
And other than that, eat normally. And don't kids like to cycle. You know, I'm not going to eat vegetables for weeks. And then, boy, I sure like green beans. And I'll eat green beans three meals a day for the next 5 weeks. And then I'm going to switch to something else. And I'm going to eat nothing but bologna for the next 5 weeks. But our body tends to store a lot of nutrients. There are very, like vitamin C, we don't, but vitamin C is ubiquitous. It's in everything. It's almost in the air. Well, not quite. But, you know, so the vitamins that we don't store tend to be so ubiquitous. And the vitamins we do store, we pick up enough of. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with nutrients and that. So I think generally offer your child a normal diet. Don't worry about, don't make him clean his plate, because if you fill his plate, don't make him clean it. Or if he fills his plate and his eyes are bigger than his stomach, don't make him or her clean it, because that may lead to our obesity. It may be a contributing factor to our obesity problem. And trust your child and trust his or her normal appetite to lead them on a good diet.
We have another call to talk with, someone in Watsika. Next, line number 4. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, I've got a 4.5-year-old daughter who we're starting to think she might have some anxiety issues. She's an only child as of now, and she's been close to home most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
We started her in preschool this year. She just started a couple of weeks ago. We've got her started in a youth soccer program here in Watsika, and she's very anxious about adults. For the most part, and other kids, really has a hard time with other adults, like touching her, kind of a coach kind of guiding her to do things in soccer, or a teacher in school. It seems like it takes 4, 5, 6, 7 times going back to the same people before she gets used to them enough where she'll be able to talk to them and then interact. Kind of wondering if that's a lifelong trend that we can kind of look forward to, or if there's some pointers that you could give to help her ease into these social situations.
You know, I think you're already doing it. I think you were fortunate before that you didn't have to put her in a daycare, but she's an only child, was home raised, and wasn't exposed to a lot of outside contacts, and now is exposed to fair number of outside contacts.
Right.
You've probably warned her in the past, don't talk to strangers, and, you know, be careful of this sort of thing. And
yep.
She's taken it to heart. But now I think she's, yeah, as she gets out more and more, meets more and more people, she'll get more and more comfortable. And I don't think you have a major problem.
Okay. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. Well, Jay Pierce has joined us here in the studio. Jay is our station manager for the radio, AM and FM radio stations. And I'm guessing, Jay, that you want to say something about the service that Dr. Bocek has provided to us and our listeners for so long.
I think the last caller, hello?
Have we got you on the wrong microphone, perhaps?
Is that working out?
There we go.
There we go.
Okay.
I just wanted to the last caller summed it up. Thank you for the service. 20 years, is that right? Is that what
about 24 years, something like that?
24 years
on Focus 580. Actually, since the beginning of the show, I think he was one of our first guests.
Common sense advice, wisdom, service to the community, and I just Dr. Bocek, on behalf of all of our listeners who have listened to you and benefited, the community has benefited, and from all of us at WILL, thank you for your service. And, you know, that's incredible, the commitment to come in here every month for this time and avail yourself, you know, for an hour to the community at large while you were maintaining, you know, your practice and your other business and a busy life and raising your family. And this is, it's an incredible contribution to the community, and we want to thank you very much for it.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you all for the opportunity.
And wish you the best in whatever it is you're going to go to now and do with this hour a month and everything else. I know you're still very active and around the community, but it's an important part of what makes, for a great community and our ability to provide the service that we do. We wouldn't be able to do it without folks like you helping us out. So thank you, and it's going to be difficult, I think, now to go through this this hour of the month and not hear you. We're going to have some withdrawal from it. But thank you very much for, on my part, the dozen years that I've heard you on the radio here that I've been in the community. So, and on behalf of the rest, twice that.
Wow.
What a tenure.
Yes. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, and, you know, we can find someone else to do the show, but there's no way we can replace Robert Bocek on this hour of Focus 580. So. It's a subject that has been very important, I think, to our audience, and it's the kind of thing that we really should be doing as a radio station, is taking care of those basic things. We all need a little help with raising our children, getting some good advice. So, that, you know, what you said, you know, goes for me as well.
Thank you.
We're going to have to stop. We're out of time. And alas, we will say, we won't have you back next month, but we will see you again. And in fact, I think you said you'd volunteer for the pledge drive to answer the telephone. Yeah. So folks can call in and talk with Dr. Bocek then. In the meanwhile, we'll say farewell for now, and we'll see you later. And thanks so much for everything.
Thank you.